So thank you very much. So first of all, I would like to thank the organizer for the invitation to speak at the conference in honor of James Arthur. I would like to say something. Last May, I called Jim and to tell him about the result on the fundamental lemma that Ngo Bao Chao and I believe to have proven. And Jim told me, okay, that's fine, but what about the weighted fundamental lemma? So, okay, and today I speak again with him, and he told me, what about the twisted? So as you see, even if the case we have considered is done, or at least hopefully, there's still a long way to go before to be able to complete the amazing work of Jean on the stabilization of the trace formula. So, as I said now, this is a joint work with Ngo Bao Chao, and he will give the second part of this lecture in 1 hour. So, let me say something about the status of this work. So, for the moment, we have a preprint that we have updated last week, so now we have some kind of final or semi-final version of this work, and we have submitted it to publication also last week. So for the moment, I think it has not been refereed, so you have to be careful with it. So the fundamental lemma, as you know, will know here, is a set of combinatorial identities which were precisely formulated by Langlands and Schellstadt. And this is a key tool in proving many cases of Langlands functoriality. So our main theorem is the following one. If you take the Lie algebra version of the fundamental lemma, for unitary groups of rank n over a non-Archimedean local field of characteristic p bigger than n, so this fundamental lemma holds. This algebraic version. And the corollary of that, so which is due to Els and Walsdorger, is that the usual fundamental lemma for unitary groups of rank n less than p, let's say like this, holds maybe I will use this for this statement, I will use this half of this blackboard. So the fundamental lemma holds over non-Archimedean local field of residual characteristics. So some word about the history of the subject. So the case n equal to, this is the famous paper by Labeth and Langlands. It was done in this paper, which is probably at the origin of the subject. I don't know exactly this part, but this is really very important even in our work. The case in equal 3 was done by Kotwitz in the Montreal volume. And I have to mention this fundamental work by Goreski, Kotwitz, and McPherson, so which is not directly related to the unitary group, but what they did is they proved the fundamental lemma in some sense for an arbitrary reductive group, but for specific elements. So the so-called equivaluated case. And they introduce the idea of using equivalent cohomology, which is very important for our work. So I will be a little bit more precise on what I mean by the main theorem, the algebra version. So let me start with the statement. Relatively precise statement of the main theorem. So F, I will introduce the notation. So F is a non-Archimedean local field of characteristic P, and P will be always bigger than N. So I need a unitary group, so I need a quadratic extension, quadratic unramified. So this is there is only one up to isomorphism. So this is a quadratic and ramified extension of F. So tau is a non-trivial element of the Galois group. And with this data, we get a quasi-split unitary group in this way. You take the point in GLN F prime such that tau star of the transpose of G from matrix n by n matrix phi n is equal to phi n, and phi n is a standard quasi split Hermitian form. And I also need the Lie algebra. So now endoscopic group, so for any partition, non-trivial partition of N, so H equal UN1 times UN2 is an elliptic endoscopic group of UN, and so I will fix a partition like this and denote by H the Lie algebra. H. So, and the main piece of data of the fundamental lemma is an element delta, delta 1, delta 2 in HF, which is regular, semi-simple, elliptic, regular. Semi-simple element. So that the centralizer of delta is a torus. Which is in fact a product of two tori in UN1 and UN2, which are anisotropic, both. So that's an elliptic condition. And so, I will not enter in the detail of that, but we can choose an isomorphism of TH with a maximal torus in G. And fixing this an isomorphism, we can transfer delta to an element gamma. And one more requirement is that delta is G regular, so which means that gamma is regular. And this is an element in the Lie algebra. So that's No, but okay. The question is complicated. Originally, it's because when you geometrically unitary group is GLN. So my original way to see this fundamental lemma is, in fact, it's a Harishchandra descent that you make it geometrical. You do a construction, a geometry with the Harishchandra descent, and then you get the, if you can do the geometry correctly with the Harishchandra descent for GLN, you get the fundamental lemma for free. With the point of view we are using now, it's less visible. But nevertheless, unitary growth is simpler, and I mean there is a work of Ngo Bao Chao, where he's considering Itching vibration, that, something I will speak later, for general group. And so there is some hope that unitary is not that essential. But nevertheless, it is simpler. And the Itching, the affine Springer fiber, the geometry which is behind is simpler. But yes. Oh, so, sorry, yes. That's a misprint. Yeah. Thank you. Then we have to go to this definition of kappa orbital integral. So there is, as Kotwitz say in his lecture, there is this notion of stable conjugacy. So if gamma is in the Lie algebra, so there are elements in the Lie algebra which are stably conjugate, conjugate over the algebraic closure of F, to gamma. And those elements, I mean, if you look at the stable conjugacy class, it's a union of finitely many conjugacy classes. And in fact, the set of conjugacy classes inside the stable conjugacy class of gamma is a group. So it's a cohomology group, so I will not enter in that. So, but I will just say that it is a group lambda, which is isomorphic to lambda rho, where this is a set of Z lambda in Z divided by 2Z to the power rho, so that the sum of the lambda I is zero. So, and rho is so one way to define rho by linear algebra is to say that rho is the rank of the centralizer, the split rank of the centralizer of gamma in GLN F prime. So, and similarly, we have also this group lambda H, which is a product of lambda 1 times lambda 2, lambda rho 1 times lambda rho 2, where rho 1 and rho 2 are defined in the same way than rho, but replacing gamma by delta 1 and delta 2. And obviously, we have an equality like this. And this is a subgroup of lambda. So this embedding comes from this isomorphism of tori. So this is a subgroup of index 2. So when you have an element which is stably conjugate to another, you can identify the centralizer. And so this is useful to have to choose our measure, but this I will not explain because it will take too much time. So, but let me state at least the main theorem. So I need the ring of integer of F prime. The Lie algebra version of the maximal compact subgroup. So there is a compact subgroup, maximal compact subgroup as well for the endoscopic group. So this is again a Lie algebra version of it. And we can consider now orbital integrals, so O gamma, so which are the, so in fact I will do it, I will pick for each conjugacy class inside the stable conjugacy class, I pick a representative. So I have a gamma lambda. Lambda is an element of this group lambda. So this is a representative of this conjugacy class, and so I have a corresponding centralizer, which is isomorphic to T, and I have the usual orbital integral. No, I normalize with the, we can. No, we don't do, no, we don't do that. It's, we do just a stupid measure. There is a natural maximal. No, but in any case, I have no time to discuss this question of measure. And it is well done in other papers, so I don't. So this is the orbital integral. And there is a similar orbital integral for H. So maybe I don't need to write it down. And so that's the orbital integral. And now using this this lambda, we can do some kind of Fourier transformation as Langlands, Labesse, Langlands, and Schellstadt did originally. To define the kappa orbital integral. So kappa is the character of lambda with kernel is precisely lambda h. And so we get the kappa orbital integral, which is the sum of, for kappa lambda of O gamma lambda of the characteristic function of this maximal compact subalgebra. And so that's for the group. And for the endoscopic group, we have the stable orbital integral. So that's the kappa. And we have the stable orbital integral. Which is the sum now without coefficient of the orbital integral that I did not write here. So okay. So and now the local theorem, which is really the main theorem of the lecture, is this equality. That there is a transfer factor, delta gamma delta, which is a sign, but very complicated sign, times Harishchandra, or discriminant, I don't know if it is Harishchandra in this case, but discriminant. So this is essentially a power of the number of elements of the residue field, 1R. And so the statement is the following one, so our local theorem is that the kappa orbital integral, so I write it in a strange way, but it is more natural from our point of view. So, okay, so this is not really what we prove by the geometry. What we prove by the geometry is the global form of this local theorem. So this is my second point, a global theorem. So I will change the notation, and I will never use again the local notation. You know? So the, and then go will not use this though. You can forget the local notation. So now F is a global field, is a function field. Of characteristic P. And so I need also F prime. So F prime is a quadratic extension of F, which is unramified everywhere. But the advantage of function field is that you have unramified everywhere extension, unramified everywhere. And it is not unique, but I pick one. So the goal is to prove a global theorem, so, local theorem, so it doesn't matter if we need to choose one. And so I have the corresponding ring of Hadels that I need. A and A prime, so that's the ring of Hadel of F and F prime. So as before, so this I will not give all the detail, but as before, if we have an integer n, if we have a field and a quadratic extension, there is a corresponding unitary group. So un is the unit, the split, quasi-split. Unitary group over F, which is defined by the same matrix as this. And again, we consider its Lie algebra and the endoscopic group and the Lie algebra of the endoscopic group. And again, we have an element delta. Now it's a rational element, a global element, in the Lie algebra of the endoscopic group, which is regular, regular in G, elliptic semisimple element in H, over F. G regular, elliptic semisimple element. So for those who don't like at all group theory, there are some in the room, like me. In our preprint, there is a completely linear algebra version of all what I am saying, so without using group. there is gamma, the corresponding element in the Lie algebra, we transfer in some way delta by choosing an isomorphism of centralizer delta to gamma. So here I will say even less than before on the theory of endoscopy or what Kotwitz did in his paper on stabilization of the trace formula, but I will just say that there is a group lambda. And one way to say that there is a group lambda is to say the following thing. So, if we have gamma prime, an adelic element in the Lie algebra, so you assume that gamma prime is stably conjugate to gamma so that means the locally over F nu for all places of F. Then it is not true that gamma prime, this is not true, is conjugate to gamma over F. So there is an obstruction to have this property. And this obstruction, which is defined in Kotwitz's paper, lives in a group lambda, which is defined as before. I mean, which... I guess it's correct now. GA conjugate. Yes, it does not make sense. Not GA conjugate. In any case, it's an adelic element, so it doesn't make sense. So there is an obstruction which leaves the group lambda. So all these groups have a natural cohomology called definition in Galois cohomology. But I wouldn't, it's really too long. So where rho is again the rank, the split rank of the centralizer. That's not a very good definition, but it's economical. It doesn't take time. The centralizer of gamma in GLN F prime. Sorry? No, stable it is. No, to gamma, I understand. To a rational element, gamma 1 in GF. Yes, that was my misprint. Okay, it's not gamma. Yes, you are. Thank you. Sorry? No, I mean without GLN. I like GLN. Unfortunately, there is no fundamental lemma for GLN. That's too bad. I'm sorry, but maybe it's not the best presentation of that. But, now replacing G by H. We get in the similar way a group lambda H, but there are this marvelously written paper by Kotwitz, so I just refer. You can just read them on this question. And again, we have the kappa, so this is rho 1, rho 2. This is isomorphic to lambda rho. And there is a kappa, which is a non-trivial, the character with kernel on the edge. And so we have, again, a fundamental lemma in some way. It's not really a fundamental lemma, but a formula, which was introduced by Kotwitz in his paper. So explain his paper. Again, I need a Lie algebra of a compact group globally. So I need globally a compact group. So I take O prime, the maximal compact subrim, and I have in this way, it's not a kappa, it's a frac capital K. And I can consider, Kotwitz do that in his paper. He introduced a global kappa orbital integral. So at gamma. But if I do that, it's interesting, but essentially trivial, because there are very few. You don't get that much if you just keep the original gamma. So one way to get something non-trivial is to twist, to multiply the gamma by an element of the center. So it does not change much, but it will make this orbital integral non-zero, or at least non-trivial. And so for technical reason, I will take an element which is a square, and I will put a minus 1 just to have the z in the right direction in some way. So, but this is not important, but if you consider only this orbital integral, you will see that this is essentially always zero, so it does not help much to consider this integral. There are very few rational elements which are integral everywhere. So that's the problem. But if you put a z, this question disappears. And there is a fundamental lemma. So again, there is a transfer factor. So you have to carry the central element everywhere. And similarly, so Kotwitz has defined a global stable orbital integral. And so he has conjectured this formula, but in fact this formula is essentially the product of all the fundamental lemmas that you have at all the places of the function field. So it's like this, it does not make sense, but essentially it is this. It is you take all the fundamental lemma, for each place you have a fundamental lemma in some way, and you take the product of all these fundamental lemma and you get this formula. So those integrals are at the same time a linear combination of adelic orbital integrals and also product of kappa orbital integrals. So there is a lemma of Kotwitz which proves that, I mean, what I have just said. That means it's structure of this, which is at the same time a linear combination of adelic orbital integral and a product of kappa orbital integral. And this is a formula which occurs in the stabilization of the stress formula, of the elliptic term of the stress formula that you have in your paper. So and now I can formulate the global theorem. I need to introduce a constant field. So in each function field, there is the field of constant, which is a finite field. And I will make several technical assumptions. This formula is true in general, but I mean, we prove it only in a particular case. Then we deduce a fundamental lemma, and then you can recover the general case of this formula if you like. But we only need a particular case of this formula. So here are the assumptions. So first of all, K is also the field of constant in F prime. The second assumption is that rho 1 equal rho 2 equal 1. So the global lambda, I am really in an easy case, the simplest possible case of the global formula. This is only true over K in F, but it should also be true after any base change, after base change by any finite field, finite extension of K, small K. So it's a geometric property. And there is an extra additional technical assumption that I will explain later. Then under this assumption, this formula here holds for large enough, and this I will come back also later, large enough Z. So this is what we really prove using the geometry. And then from this global theorem, so we have an argument, but I think there may be others, I mean, we have an argument to recover the original local theorem from this. So in our argument, it's geometric, it's a usual argument to go from a global formula to a local one. So you choose correctly in a suitable way your gamma and so on, and you get the local things. But our argument technically is using a Bertini theorem of Gaber and Poonen. So we have to choose in a suitable way, we have to change the n in our argument. That means we have to, if we want to prove the local statement for a given n, we will take a global n which will be eventually larger. but this does not matter. It's just a this is a tricky. It's not really serious this part. But choosing in a suitable way the global N, the global delta, and the global Z, then we can arrange the situation in such a way that everywhere it's Labesse, Langlands, in the easiest possible case, and in a point it is our local. We have a product formula of fundamental lemma, which are almost all trivial. Some are Labesse-Langlands in the simplest possible case, and there is one place where we get the original statement. So this is why we can recover the global local theorem from the global one. So now it's time to do some geometry. So our approach to the global theorem is geometric, and the main tool is the so-called Hitching vibration. So this is what I will explain for point. So if we have a function field, obviously we have a curve corresponding to the function field. So there is a smooth projective model of the function field over K. So that's a smooth projective geometrically connected curve over small K. And unramify everywhere extension of F prime of F gives, in fact, a double covering, etal covering, double etal covering. Of X. And I am assuming that this double covering is non-trivial, is in fact geometrically non-trivial. So that means this curve is also geometrically connected. So this is a part of the assumption that I have written before, geometrically connected as well. And so using the, what we have done over a local field or over a global field, the same procedure gives the unitary group. So now it's a unitary group scheme. Over X. So I need a divisor. So D will be the divisor of the central element Z. So if you have an adel, you have a divisor, you look at the valuation and you get a divisor. And this divisor, the assumption is that the degree of the divisor should be at least the genus of the curve plus one. So that's the large enough hypothesis of the global theorem. So, and now I will review briefly what Hitchin has done. This one. So what Hitchin has done, in some sense, he has defined a global analog of what is the Steinberg map for a reductive group. So if you have a reductive group, you have a map introduced by Steinberg on an affine space, which is, for GLN, the characteristic polynomial map. So this is a map. So what Hitchin did is to introduce, to in fact define this map globally. So this map is very good in terms of understanding, in some sense, orbital integrals. So, I will give the definition of this map. So first of all, I need the notion of Hitchin triple. So this is a triple, where E is a Rankine vector bundle on X prime. Phi is an Hermitian form on this Rankine vector bundle, and theta, that's really the Hitchin introduction, this is really the theta, which is a twisted endomorphism of E. So that's an element of the Lie algebra, in some sense, of the unitary group, which is Hermitian. Anti-Hermitian. So this is in fact a point in some kind of algebraic variety. Technically, it's an algebraic stack. But if you take the set, you have to think, just think in terms of set. So the set of Hitchin triple is a variety, a stack, algebraic stack. And this is like the Lie algebra of a group. And now there is a natural map to an affine space, which is the so-called Hitchin fibration. So which is the analog of the Steinberg map. And it is defined in a very simple way. If you have a Hitchin triple, you want to associate an element in some affine space. And what you do is you take the characteristic polynomial of theta. So that means this is the set of trace theta, trace lambda square theta, and so on. And this affine space is an affine space which is rather big. This is the sum. You take the global section over x prime of O x prime 2i d minus 1, d i 2i d, for I equal 0 to n. And you take here the part where tau, the involution, which is, there is a natural involution here, tau, that I was already using here, and tau is acting as minus 1 to the i. So this is a big vector space, and so it's the underlying vector space to an affine, standard affine space. No, but it has to be Hermitian with respect to theta. No, the fiber will be all the possible. So the description, so Hitchin gave a beautiful description of the fibers of this map. So we have a line bundle of order 2, which is equivalent to the data of the double lethal covering. And if you take, you twist this line bundle, and if you take the total space, you get a rule, a quasi-projective surface. So that's a sigma, which is the total space of this line bundle. So the fiber of dimension 1 with a zero section. So it's a vector bundle. And what you can do is each time you fix a point here. So what means fix a point here? That means fix a polynomial t to the n minus a1, t to the n minus 1, plus and so on, plus minus 1 to the n an. And this is the equation of a curve. And this is exactly the equation of a correspond to that. And this is the equation of a curve that you can draw on this surface. So this is a so-called spectral curve in the terminology of Hitchin. And what Itchin proves is that the fiber I will skip the detail because I am running out of time. So the fiber at some A, so there is this curve is can be very ugly. So for example, this polynomial can be simply t to the n. So this corresponds to the zero element, the element which is the highly possible nilpotent. So then the fiber is just this line counted with multiplicity n. And I mean the fiber of the Hitchin fibration is the so-called nilpotent cone, which comes in the geometric Langlands business. And but it is, we don't want to consider such kind of fiber. So we will always restrict ourselves to the open subset of where the spectral curve is reduced. Some kind of regularity on the element. So, and if I take such an element, so this is a part of the compactified Jacobian. Of YA. So if we have a curve which is smooth everywhere, we have a Jacobian. If it is not smooth, we have the compactified Jacobian, which is a compactification of the ordinary Jacobian. And the fibers are not exactly compactified Jacobian, but are some kind of tau equal minus one part of the compactified Jacobian. So, and what is very important for us is the following proposition, which is essentially due to Faltings, and which gives the purity that we need. If we take this radius part of the Hitchin space, this is smooth, has no singularity over K. And the second part is that there is another open subset, which is the elliptic part. K is a small, is a finite field FQ, the field of constant of S. So there is an elliptic part which can be viewed in the following way. You have X prime over X. You have YA, which is in fact, a ramified covering of X of degree N. And you can do the fiber product. And elliptic means that you have the same number of irreducible components here and here. So there is a definition of elliptic. And over the elliptic set, it is not, the fibration is rather reasonable. So it's a proper morphism. And the fiber are almost varieties. There is basically no stack theory in this fiber. They are Dolin-Mansart stack. But they are essentially varieties. So, and the next part is to go to the endoscopic group. And in fact, to choose a point in A which correspond to delta. So first of all, we can replace G by H. So doing that, we replace A by a space, an endoscopic Hitchin space in some sense, which is again the product of a product. So that means A1 and A2 are defined like A, but replacing N by N1 and N2. And there is a morphism between the two, which is defined in the following way. So I have two polynomials of degree N1 and N2, and I want to get a polynomial of degree N, so there is a very simple recipe. You take the product. So that means the spectral curve has two, and there may be some complicated singularity here, and so on, so it may be really ugly, but it has two, as a Cartier divisor, in the surface, the rule surface sigma over X, I have a spectral curve, we have two irreducible components. And so the delta, if I take its characteristic polynomial, I get a point A1, A2 in AH. With the property I have required on delta, those properties imply that the two spectral curves here are completely irreducible, geometrically irreducible. This is the hypothesis rho 1 equal rho 2 equal 1. So then I will consider a point like this. And I will consider the Hitchin vibration in some form for H that we call N to simplify the notation. We have A and we have M. We have M. So in Gauss lecture there will be will be explained how to, that there is a map from N to M which is useful. In my, for my purpose, I only need to know that there is a map at this level. And this map is obtained as follows. If you have so it says essentially that there is a relation between the compactified Jacobian of the spectral curve for A and the product of the two compactified Jacobian for A1 and A2. At least there is some kind of map between the two. If you have a torsion-free coherent module over YA1 and another one on YA2, you can take their image to YA and you get a torsion-free module on YA. So it's the same thing like if you look at lattices in a sum of two vector space, you have the lattices which are decomposed. So if you have a lattice in one space and another lattice in the other space, you can take the sum and you get a lattice in the the direct sum. So this is the same kind of construction. Not very serious. And so this is the picture that we have. The delta give us a point here in AH, a point here, and these two Hitchin fibers. So now I will at least try to formulate a cohomological statement which implies, which is in fact equivalent to the global theorem. So and in terms of the cohomology, Eladic cohomology, of the spectral, of those varieties, I mean the Hitchin fibers. Of the global field. So maybe what I will do, because I'm really running out of time, I will write the statement and try to explain what are the objects which are involved. So it's a global theorem geometric form. So I have a kappa. Which will be a character. So this corresponds to the fact that I have rho 1 equal rho 2 equal 1. So I have rho equal 2. So this is the 2 which is here. So this is the lambda, and this is the lambda that I had before. And so this is the same character that I had before. This is my kappa, the kernel of which is the kappa, the lambda h. So I fix such kappa so such that the kernel is lambda h. So that means which does not factor through the sum. So then in a process I have unfortunately no time to explain, there is a way to define the kappa part of the cohomology of MA. Then we can take the trace of Frobenius acting on this kappa part. And so this is the usual Eladic cohomology of MA. And the formula, which is equivalent to the global theorem I stated before, says that there is a formula like this. Okay, there is something a little bit surprising here, is the kappa on the N side. But this kappa is just for stupid reason of connected components, so you can forget it. It's because in this definition of, but you can do the same with Kotwitz, either you kill what comes from J or either not. I mean, this is the question of connected components, so this is not serious. So forget this kappa. I have no time to say too much about this kappa. It's not serious. So what do we have? We have a way to take the kappa part on the cohomology of MA. And this is rather essential. We have, if we forget the kappa, this cohomology, so that's kappa orbital integral, that's a stable orbital integral. And we have a global transfer factor, which is non-trivial here because you have to remember that we took not a rational element, but we took a delta with this z square involved. So, and if you compute this transfer factor, you will get that it is there is a power of q which is non-trivial. So what is M and R? So maybe there's something I have time to say. So M, it is related to the intersection number of the two curves. We have 1A1 and YA2. So you have an intersection number. You have a multiplicity, intersection multiplicity. So this is the sum over the intersection point of the intersection multiplicity. But the M is only for the Z which are inert. In the double covering. I mean, if I can do the same picture with after base changing by I have the same picture after base changing by x prime, and it makes sense to say that the point is inert in this kind of base change. So this is the M, and the R is simply the same thing, but without the condition inert. And this is the intersection number of the two curves, the global intersection number. And this is easy to compute. So that's the global transfer factor. So that's a stable orbital integral and that's a kappa orbital integral. And this is really what, again, this is really what we prove. And Gou-Bao-Chao will go in, will try to explain some details of the proof of this statement. I'm sorry, I already went out of time.